Before I get into my message, I just want to read a scripture from Acts 3:19. It says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And that's what I really wanted us to see is, you know, sometimes we need to repent. And sometimes we just get out of alignment with God in one way or the other. And when we do, we just need to repent and say, "God, I'm sorry," and just turn it loose, because God is faithful. And when we do repent, it brings refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And we are made up of a spirit. We have a spirit. And we have a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a body. And when we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, and the Spirit of the Lord comes to dwell within us. But because we live in a dirty world, and we can get out of, we can get just out of focus or out of kilter, and it's time, you know, maybe we've gotten into worry or fret and we're not trusting the Lord. And we just have to say, "Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I just back up. Forgive me." And when we line up with the Spirit of the Lord, when we line back up with the Lord, it just puts everything right, and it brings times of refreshing. It's like In our being, that our spirit man needs to rule. It needs to take the lead. In the kingdom of God, our spirits need to be the leader of our being. And sometimes it's important to just stop and say, "God, I need to line up." And one thing that helps us line up is spending time reading His Word. When we read His Word, it says the Word cleanses us and it washes us. Another thing that lines us up with Him is to spend time in worship, just like we worship this morning. You know, we've come into fellowship with Him, and it just set things right. But sometimes we need to talk to ourselves. We need to just get up in the morning and say, "Okay, Spirit, take your place. Take your kingdom place in my life. And my spirit, yield to the Holy Spirit. Be in contact with the Spirit." And then we need to tell our mind, will, and emotions, "Okay, you are to be submitted to my spirit, who is submitted to the Holy Spirit." And you can talk to your body and say, "Okay, body, you need to submit yourself to my spirit, which is submitted to the Holy Spirit, and line up with the Word of God." And so we just kind of, sometimes we just have to align ourselves and put ourselves in order. And right now, before I get into the Word that God gave me for today, I just want us to pray. And Lord, we just thank you for your presence here. We thank you that we just give ourselves and our minds and thoughts to you today, Lord. And we just put our attention on the Word of God. And Father, I pray that the Word that comes forth today will be anointed by the Holy Ghost, that it will go in and that it will be planted as a seed, and that we will produce fruit in our lives, that we will receive it and it will be life and light to us. Amen. Okay, Lucy, I'm going to be doing most of my scriptures today in the New Living Translation. If it's something else, I'll let you know. And our key scripture today is from the book of Job, verse 22 and 28. And this scripture is in the Old King James, the King James Version, this first one. In Job 22:28, King James Version. Okay, it says, this is when Eliphaz was bringing a message to Job from God. And this is what God was telling to Job through Eliphaz. He said, "Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light will shine upon thy ways." So God was telling Job, it wasn't a suggestion, it was a command. "Thou shalt decree a thing. And when you do decree what I tell you to decree, it will be," or "it shall be." Shall is the most positive, sure word. "It shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon the ways, thy ways." we have always taught the benefits and the power of confessing, declaring, affirming, speaking God's word over our lives. And today, and it's a good thing, it's we have to come in agreement with what God's word says, and we need to confess it and speak it. But today we're going to be studying and using the word decree. Like God told Job to decree a thing. And we're going to be looking at the word decree because the word decree carries a higher authority. I have been the last couple of years, I've been hearing the word decree a lot. And I thought, well, I've never used that word much, but I've been hearing it. Cheryl Sachs with Bridge Builders, when she's praying in agreement with what God said, she says, "We decree." And I've been thinking, well, I just need to know about more about what they're talking about when they're talking about decreeing. Some words that we use, like in the same thing, is we say we confess the word. Like we use it, it means to acknowledge a belief in. We say, yes, I believe this. I confess it. Affirm is to state positively. Declare is to assert. And positively, the word declare comes from the Hebrew akva, meaning to make known and to set for details and information. When we're crossing the border into Mexico or are crossing back in the United States, the officers, the custom officers will say, "What do you have to declare?" And what they want to know is, "What do you actually have in your possession?" They don't want to know what do you want to have. They say, what are you possessing? What do you have to declare? When they ask Calvin, do you have over $10,000 cash in your possession? And he just saw, he says, oh, I wish I did. But that would be nice. But anyway, they're wanting to know, what do you have? And when we make declarations in the spirit realm, we're making an announcement of the things we already possess. We're already enjoying this possession. We already have it. Like we can say, I'm born again. Jesus has washed my sins away. I'm cleansed. He's washed me whiter than snow. God answered this prayer for me. He healed me. He provided this when I need it. And many, all of us have testimonies of what God did for us somewhere. And when we give our testimonies, when we declare what we are enjoying from the Lord, it's powerful. When we say, when we tell somebody how God provided for a need for us, it sparks faith in that other person where they can receive what they need from the Lord. So testimonies or declarations of what we are enjoying in the Lord are a positive, wonderful thing. But by contrast, decree is a legal term. We can decree something that God has promised or purchased for us that we may not be fully experiencing or not experiencing for at all, but God said he wanted to do this for us, and so a decree states God's purpose in the matter, whether we're enjoying it yet or not, or using it yet. But as we verbally agree or decree God's promises for us, it opens the way for God's purpose to become a tangible reality in our natural lives. It's a tool for the fulfillment of Matthew 6:10, where Jesus said that thy kingdom, for us to pray that thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth where we live as it is in heaven. Webster's definition of decree is a formal order determining what is to be done or not to be done in a particular matter. It's a law or an ordinance. It's also a foreordaining eternal purpose of God. A decree is more than just an announcement. A decree carries the same level of authority as a law being enacted or an order issued by a court. That's how powerful the word decree is. The biblical definition of decree is the same as the purpose of God because it's rooted in the word of God. And we must only decree things based on God's word. As we decree the will and purpose of God over our life, it's simple, but it's powerful. Because God's will and purpose for our life is that we have an abundant life, that we have health and provision, and that we're powerful in our testimony for the Lord. And God's will and purpose is all good for us. And so when we just say, we pray God's will and purpose, we decree that the will and purpose of God be done in my life, it's powerful. The Hebrew definition of decree is to divide, to cut in two, to cut off, to destroy, to separate, to exclude. The Hebrew definition shows us another facet of what happens in the spirit realm when we speak decrees. For example, when we decree, I am blessed because I fear or reverence God, and that's taken from Psalms 112:1, not only are we establishing the blessing, but according to the Hebrew definition of decree, we're also dividing ourselves away from anything proposed against our blessing. We're cutting off and destroying the plans of the enemy. So when we make a decree that I am blessed because I reverence God, not only are we establishing that blessing, but we're cutting Satan off from his coming against that blessing. When we decree, my children are strong and full of integrity, inspired by Psalms 112:2, we divide our children's strength from their weaknesses and set them apart from deception. When we decree their integrity, we cut off and destroy dishonesty and unrighteousness from their midst and from their hearts. When we decree wealth and riches are in my house from Psalms 112:3, not only do we establish our wealth with the authority of a court order, decreeing it with the same authority as the decreed will and purpose of God, but we also cut off spirits of lack and destroy poverty spirits. The decrees we speak institute and establish the reign of the kingdom of heaven and cut off the reign of the kingdom of darkness. Lucy, did you have a little thumb drive there? Oh, Peter. It's ready. Okay, put up the first one that it says decrees, number one on the screen. And I want you to look at with me the decrees, what a decree does. This is just stating the power of a decree and what it does. Okay, it's kind of a little small. I don't know if we can fix that. Okay, decrees are bold statements of truth, vision, and purpose. Decrees carry the authority of a court order so that anything opposed to the truth decreed has no further say. Decrees separate, divide, and set you apart for the kingdom of heaven. Decrees cut off and destroy anything purposed against you. Decrees cut off and destroy anything purposed against God's blessings for you. Decrees impose an irrefutable defeat upon the enemy. Decrees renew your mind. Decrees change your atmosphere. Decrees create an open heaven that will go with you everywhere. And decrees will propel you into your destiny. So the word decree is a powerful word, and it carries a great authority. We want to distinguish between decrees from positive affirmations. Positive affirmations are real popular in the world now. They're used by people in humanism. It's called the human potential movement. It's linked with the New Age religions, and it's been really big since the 1960s. People are into saying positive things. They think that they can affect the whole universe with what they say. But the fallacy in what they're doing is that they teach, the human potential movement teaches, that you are able to control your whole world. And you are your own power source for the effectiveness of your positive affirmations. And in the end, the humanism or New Age philosophies teach that we are gods, that we worship ourselves, that we have the power, and it's us that we worship. Well, that's just totally, it's just false. It's just awful. Let's go to Isaiah 53:6, New Living Translation. And it says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. And that's what humanism does, the New Age religions do. They leave God's path to follow their own way and their own way of doing things. Now let's go to Romans 1:25. It says, they traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. So the created being or the human being that God created, instead of them worshiping God the Creator, they worship themselves, or they worship idols, or they worship other things besides the Creator. And so that's the fallacy of the positive affirmations that the world uses. It's important for believers to draw a clear boundary between what's biblical and what's not, so that we can activate biblical principles and promises in our life. The difference between those involved in humanism and what the scriptures say, very basically, is who we put our trust in. Are we trusting in God, or are we trusting in ourselves? And that's the basic line between the two. Where is our faith? Who are we putting our faith in? Are we putting our faith in God or in ourselves or other things? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The power source for decrees, we're going to look at that in Jeremiah 1:12. And I'm just going to read part of the version. It's in the Amplified, so we don't have to go there. But it says, for I, God, am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. So when we speak God's word, he listens. And he's active and he's alert to perform the word that we're speaking, to perform his word. When we put voice to God's word, that is when we come into agreement with him and his word. Then he performs it for us. We agree with God's word, we speak it, we believe it, and he does it. Hallelujah. He's the one that does it. And then we're going to Psalms 103:20. Psalms 103:20, and I'm going to read it in the New American Standard. And it says, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Angels have been given a direction from God to obey the voice of his word. So when we decree the word of God or the scriptures, the angels are being released to do the work of the word. So when we speak the word that God tells us to speak, when we decree his word over our lives, sets God in motion to perform it, and it releases the angels to work in our behalf as well to bring that word to pass. These scriptures take the pressure off of us. We're simply responsible to read and verbally agree with the word of God. And when we do that, two things happen. The angels and God himself are released to perform the work and the word. We're not commanding God or the angels to do anything. God has already established truths. He's already set his word in motion. It's already out there, his blessings. And when we speak his words, we're just coming into agreement with what the purposes that God already has for us. We're putting ourselves in agreement for the blessings that he has already ordained for us to have. Hallelujah. God's established life, joy, peace, health, unity, harmony, abundance, prosperity, success, vindication, justice for us. And when we come into agreement with His word and His blessings by believing it and speaking it, it gives it power. Isaiah 55:11, New Living Translation. It's the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to do, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So when we speak God's word, we just know it puts it in motion. It puts it in action. It starts making it happen. Now going to Romans 10:9. Romans 10:9 shows us a clear example on how to activate a promise of God. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah. So it says here in the Message version, it says, it's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. But to activate salvation, we have to confess and believe. If we didn't have to confess it and believe it, then salvation would just be free to anybody. Everybody in the world would be free because Jesus died for their sins to provide salvation for them. But there is a biblical thing that says we have to confess and believe to receive the benefit of salvation. That's part of the process. And every promise of God is the same way. The way we receive it is to confess it and believe it. To speak it and believe it makes it available for us. We bring it unto ourselves. We receive God's promise. Hallelujah. It has to be activated. And all promises of God's word are activated by confessing and believing. Remember back to our key scripture, Job 22:28 says, thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established unto thee and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When we speak decrees, we are creating an open heaven so that heaven comes down to earth. This means that the truths of heaven become our natural experience and reality on earth. The phrase kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God can be translated of sphere where God rules. When you come into agreement with the word of God and confess it and believe it, that brings the rule of that truth into existence. It's the sphere. We come into the sphere or the area where God is ruling, into the kingdom. Decrees based on the word of God call us into alignment and agreement with Him, and they will renew our mind, change the atmosphere, change our atmosphere, and bring the realities of heaven to earth. Going on to Romans 12:2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When we let God transform us into a new person by changing the way we think, then we know God's will, and God's will for us is always good and pleasing and perfect. Being in alignment with God, being in God's will is always a good thing. It's a blessing. It's wonderful. When you decree God's word, you're speaking truth, and the truth will correct your thinking. It'll direct your attention to the answer instead of the problem. When we speak God's word and we dwell on the answer, and we go towards and we receive the answer from God. And when we keep our mind on the problem, then we don't often find our answer. We have to look to God's word, and it corrects our thinking where we're finding the answer God's way. It's important to align ourselves to God's Spirit every day, and we had talked about that. We're going to do some practicing, and Lucy, on that little thumb drive, pull up provision, and we're going to do some practical decreeing over our lives from the Word of God. Really, when you read the Word, every time you're reading the Word and you see a promise, stop right there and read it like that promise is you. It says, I am blessed. I am healed. You know, just whatever promises, just put it in the first person. Bring it alive to you and stop and repeat it right then. And we're going to read some scriptures about provision. Philippians 4:19, and this is the Darby translation. It says, God will provide all of my needs according to the riches of his glory, which are ours in Christ Jesus. So he provides our needs according to his riches in glory. And it says, which are ours in Christ Jesus, because we belong to Christ. The riches of God's glory are also ours. That's good news. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It had been talking about the clothing that you need, the shelter that you need, the food you need. When you seek God's kingdom first, all of these things are added to you. And then 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Genesis 13:2. Abraham was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. And then bringing it to us in Galatians 3:7 says, the real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. And then in Galatians 3:9 it says, so all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. So when we put our faith in Christ, it says we receive the same blessing of Abraham because of his faith. And so we see Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. Okay, we're going to make some decrees according to the Word of God, and I want everyone to make them together. And I don't know, I didn't make these big enough. I don't know if you can see it. I'm going to say a decree, and then we'll all say it together. And the first one is, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So that's from Psalms 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The mountains with their caves and the caves with their treasures. The meadows with their trees and the trees with their fruit. The land with its pastures and the pastures with their cattle. The soil with its seeds and the seeds with their crops. The silver, the gold, and all the precious gems and minerals. The entire sphere of creation and all it contains belongs to our God, and we are his children. Amen? Okay, I'm going to read this decree, and I would like for you to repeat it with me. God meets my needs according to his riches in glory. Okay, let's say it together. God meets my needs according to his riches in glory. See what we're doing? We're taking the written word of God and we're bringing it home to where we live, to us. We're making it our decree. Okay, the next one says, because I seek God's kingdom first, everything I need is drawn to me like a magnet. Let's say that all together. Because I seek God's kingdom first, everything I need is drawn to me like a magnet. The next one, I'll read it and then we'll say it together. I don't worry because my trust is in God who causes me to have more than I need. I don't worry because my trust is in God who causes me to have more than I need. Hallelujah. And the last one on this one is, I am a generous, joyous giver. I am a generous, joyous giver. I love to give. And I do. I love to give. It's just a wonderful way of life. And then the next one, go to promises for our children. Confessions we can make over our children. The first scripture there is Acts 2:17. And it says, in the last days, which started at the book of Acts, God says, I will pour my spirit upon all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And then Isaiah 44:3-4, it says, for I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields. And I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your children. They will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbank. Then Isaiah 59:21, and this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit will not leave them, and neither will these words I have given you. They will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and your children's children forever. I, the Lord, has spoken. Okay, we're going to make some decrees together. I will say it, and then I want us to all say it together. The Spirit of the Lord is being poured out on my children. Let's say it together. The Spirit of the Lord is being poured out on my children. And when you're by yourself, just speak the name of every one of your children, saying the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out on this child. The next one says, they will listen to the voice of the Spirit and they listen to the voice of the Spirit and are obedient. They listen to the voice of the Spirit and are obedient. They will prophesy and see visions from God. They will prophesy and see visions from God. My children are following God's plan and purpose for their life. My children are following God's plan and purpose for their life. They take pleasure in God's word and meditate on it continually. My children take pleasure in God's word and meditate on it continually. They walk in integrity and love. They walk in integrity and love. They have favor with God and man. They have favor with God and man. They are blessed with good health, with prosperity, and good friends. They are blessed with good health, with prosperity, and good friends. They are blessed to be a blessing. They are blessed to be a blessing. They are leaders and trendsetters changing the culture for God's glory. They are leaders and trendsetters changing the culture for God's glory. Amen. That's my kids. That's my children. And these are all promises of God for our children. And when we speak them, hallelujah, it not only establishes the blessing and the truth, but it cuts off the opponent, the enemies to that blessing. It cuts them off, hallelujah, because we're making declarations in agreement with the word of God. And God watches over his word. When we speak the word over our children, God watches over that word. Now we're going to go to healing, number 4 there. Read some scripture on healing. When you're reading the word and you're claiming promises, sometimes it's good to go into the Greek and Hebrew if you have a Strong's dictionary or have on a computer where you can look at it. Because sometimes we cut our scriptures just very, however you can say it, the simplest way. And the Hebrew words a lot of times have a lot of multiple meanings that are so rich and good. So sometimes getting into deeper study on a scripture or words in that scripture will just bring so much blessing to you in that scripture, and I'm going to read Isaiah 53:4-5, and this is the King James Version. Surely he, Jesus, has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That says the same thing in 1 Peter 2:24, that by his stripes we are healed. Much sickness, I think I had that in my note. A lot of sickness is caused by hidden grief, but Jesus bore our grief. And we just need to give our grief and things that's grieved our heart. We need to give them to the Lord because he bore them. Hallelujah. Okay, I decree Jesus bore my anxiety, calamity, disease, grief, and sickness. He took away my pain and sorrow. He was wounded for my transgressions, and he was bruised for my iniquity. Let's say that together. Jesus bore my anxiety, calamity, disease, grief, and sickness. He took away my pain and my sorrow. He was wounded for my transgressions, and he was bruised for my iniquity. I walk in his shalom, and shalom means safety, health, prosperity, peace, and wholeness. Okay, let's do it together. I walk in his shalom, safety, health, prosperity, peace, and wholeness. Hallelujah. I walk in his peace. I walk in his shalom. Hallelujah. I am safe and protected from all harm. I am safe and protected from all harm. I have health, prosperity, and peace. I live in health, prosperity, and peace. Hallelujah. I am healed and thoroughly made whole in my spirit, my soul, my will, mind, and emotions, and my body. I am healed and thoroughly made whole in my spirit, my soul, my will, mind, and emotions, and my body. Hallelujah. And then the last one, it's kind of a lot to say, but you can just put anything you need in here, but I have a healthy cardiovascular system, digestive system, nervous system, endocrine system, lymph system. We could put respiratory system, skeletal system. I have good eyesight and hear well. You know, just put in whatever you need. I am healed all. Jesus created all of my body, every part, everything. And he already paid for this provision of this for my healing. Hallelujah. And I am healed because of his stripes that he bore. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Psalms chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 1 through 3 and then 6, and then we're going to make declarations about ourselves from those verses. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Okay, we're going to make some decrees out of this chapter. I decree I am blessed at all times because I delight and take pleasure in God's word. Okay, I decree I am blessed at all times because I delight and take pleasure in God's word. I meditate on God's word continually. I meditate on God's word continually. I think about it all the time. Hallelujah, it's in there. I do not pay attention to what Unrighteous people say, nor do I walk in their way. I do not pay attention to what unrighteous people say, nor do I walk in their way. I'm not sarcastic, nor do I make fun of others. I'm not sarcastic, nor do I make fun of others. I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I am strong and well fed. I bear fruit in season. I am strong and well fed. I bear fruit in season. My leaves do not wither but are always healthy. My leaves do not wither but are always healthy. I prosper in everything I do. My marriage prospers. My children prosper. My business prospers. My finances prosper. I prosper in everything I do. My marriage prospers. My children prosper. My business prospers. My finances prosper. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's just good to take the word of God to us personal. Grab a hold of it. Make it yours. Lay claim to it. Decree it. What God said he wants me to have, I decree that I shall have it. I make it my own. I make God's promises mine. I make them real to me. God's promises of this book are for me. I take them. I say amen. I agree with them. I believe in my heart. I say it with my mouth. God's promises for me. Hallelujah. The Lord knows my ways, for my ways are his ways. The Lord knows my ways, for my ways are his ways. Hallelujah. This next one, number six, godly character. This one I borrowed or copied from a book. I took from a book inspired by the Psalms by Elizabeth Nixon. And this is kind of what she was doing in her book, making the reading the word and then making it personal to her. And it was just real interesting, but it's all of Psalms chapter 15. I who may worship, verse 1, who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent. Such people will stand forever. And here she decreed according to that chapter. She said, I choose God's character as my own. Integrity, righteousness, truth. These are like my backstage pass to God's personal tent. Because of them, I can live with him in holiness. You know, and it's not our righteousness. It says that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. But when we repent, he gives us his righteousness. He clothes us with his robes of righteousness. And so we are righteous in Christ Jesus, and his righteousness gives us the authority to come right into his room of worship, right in where he is. Hallelujah. We're right there with him because of his righteousness, because we have confessed. We've confessed and believed, and we're clothed with his righteousness. Okay. I take a stand against lies. I will not speak badly about others behind their backs, and I will not be critical of my friends. I choose to have soft eyes to see others. I have a soft heart and understand that they too are on their journey. You know, that's just good. We have to choose to have soft eyes when we see others. And soft heart and understand that other people are on their journey too. And we all make mistakes. We all go through things. And but we need to, you know, God looks at us with forgiving hearts when we come to Him. So easy, He forgives us, and we need to forgive one another and just be gracious and loving to each other. I fear the Lord and honor others who do the same. I am self-controlled and keep my emotions in check. I do not allow them to rule me. I'm accountable for my actions and to take responsibility for myself. I am quick to be generous. I love to give to others and do not expect anything in return. I do not desire to profit from other people's loss because I maintain a godly character and I will never be shaken. Because we choose to be generous and honest, you know, we'll never be shaken. We retain a godly character. Hallelujah. We could go on and on. The Word is so full of promises for us. In any area that you have need, God has promises for you and He has answers. Hallelujah. Last night as I lay in bed, the Psalms 34 was coming up in my spirit. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, I will praise the Lord at all times. In the good times, in the bad times, when there's turmoil around me, I will praise the Lord. Oh, when I don't see things, you know, when things seem to be a chaos, I will praise the Lord. When everything's going perfect, I will praise the Lord. Day in and day out, no matter what's happening, I make a determination, I will praise the Lord. You know, God is always worthy of our praise. He is always worthy of our praise. It doesn't matter what kind of day we have had or what failures we make, God is worthy. You know, sometimes the devil will say, well, you can't worship the Lord. You blew it. You lost your temper or whatever. Our worshiping God isn't about us. It's about Him. And He's always worthy, no matter what kind of a day we've had. God is worthy. He's always worthy of our praise. He's always faithful and true and wonderful and awesome. And it's just good to put our mind on the Word all the time and claim, make it personal to you. Speak His promises, decree His promises over your life, your finances, your children, your health, everything about you. Make, declare, and decree God's word over your life. It works. It helps. And you know, when we declare God's word, it says He performs it. And He puts the angels into action. And God's timing isn't our timing. So if you speak something and it doesn't happen today, just keep speaking it. Just keep speaking the word of God. Just keep saying the word of God, agreeing with the word of God. And it's in motion. And it'll happen in God's time. You know, when we plant seeds, different seeds germinate at different times. I mean, a radish can be up in 5 days and you can eat it in 3 weeks maybe. I don't know how long. But how long does a pecan take to produce when we plant a pecan? How many years? 7 years it takes to get fruit from a pecan when you plant it. So things germinate at different times, and stay faithful to taking the word of God for yourself and stand on it. And as you stay faithful in standing on God's word, it'll come. It'll come. It'll happen. Because God's faithful to His word, but it's His timing, not our timing. Hallelujah. God is so good. Father, we just thank You for this time in Your word. We thank You for the power of Your word in our lives. We thank You, Father. We just praise Your name, and we thank You for the word. We thank You for the love letter that You sent to us, and that we find provision in it for every need that we have. We just praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. We praise You, Jesus. We praise You, Lord. Holy, 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 holy. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We praise you, Father. Oh, la kaya shonde levino rabanda lini muande la tano shani. Oh, la rami ande inyonde la rabiando voalishi la rabanayote. Oh, I just feel the presence of the Lord here today, and I feel that God wants to touch some people by His Spirit, by His power. If you just have a churning in your heart, a drawing, something that's just pulling at you, and you just want prayer, I just feel God wants to impart some spiritual blessings and some just His presence into you today. And we just would like to pray for you. If you have a need, if you have a particular need of healing or something that you want a prayer of agreement for, a child, a need, or if you just are hungry for more of God and want to be touched by God's presence, just feel free to come as you just feel that churning of the Lord. I think God's talking to some people right now. Just quiet your mind and turn your attention on the Lord. Just shut out all of yesterday and tomorrow and all of your thoughts and your neighbors, who's next to you, and just begin to think of the Lord and think on Him. Open your heart up to the Lord, for the Lord's going to speak to some people today by His power. Thank you, Lord.